Welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Todd Garza. Today we're going to go over the first few weeks of the Major League Baseball season. There has been a lot of activity, a lot of surprises, some exciting points to go over in these first few weeks. That's kind of the goal of today's show. It's our first podcast in a couple weeks. I apologize to the listeners out there, the few people that care and have gotten in touch with me through email. Had a lot going on. I umpire some personal stuff. This is just that time of year where it's a very active and busy part of the season. The fantasy football season is in off season, and I'm just trying to juggle a few too many things at once this time of year. But we are going to attempt to go weekly from here on out throughout the Major League Baseball season, at least until fantasy football kicks in. We may, at that point, it may be every 10 days or so, but for the time being, we are going to attempt to go weekly. I do apologize for the lag these last few weeks. It has been crazy, but I have kept up with the Major League Baseball season very closely. It has been a blast so far. Right now, the league's a little turned upside down. A lot of the top teams the last few years have been struggling. Teams that have been struggling the last few years have really caught some fire here at the beginning of the season. This happens quite a bit in Major League Baseball. Usually, things happen to fall into place over time, especially in a very long season like the Major League Baseball season. There's still 140 something games to go for most teams, and that is a long time for things to fall into place. Your Red Sox starting off at 5-10, and Yankees at 6-8, that's not going to last. Those teams will eventually turn around. There's just too much talent. It's kind of like my home team, Astros, got off to a really slow start, and now they've reeled off 8 in a row. I watched the Houston fans around here after that slow start. It was get rid of Correa because he was hurt the first few games. It was, we need to do this. They were complaining about Diaz. We need to get Marwin back, even though Marwin's only hitting 200 and doing nothing for the Twins right now. Houston fans, as I've grown to love them more over the last few years, but up until they won that championship, growing up as a Houston Astros fan, I always complained that they were very fair weather. They would jump on the bandwagon when they're doing great, but they'd be quick to cut you as soon as you had any kind of trouble. It showed its ugly face a little bit here in the first week or two, but that's normal. Fans have a right to want certain outcomes, especially if you've got a team that's been successful like the Astros have the last few years. I can only imagine, and I've seen a little bit of it on Twitter, what it's like in New York and Boston right now. I know that those fan bases are absolutely flipping out. They're known to do that. They expect the best. They do have the best rosters in the game. So if there were fan bases that really deserve to be freaking out right now, it would be those, just because, hey, we're, $300 million payroll. We expect to get something in return. And that is just basic common sense, and I understand that. The Yankees could be one of the most injured teams in the first few weeks I've seen in recent years. Luckily, they're very deep. They've got a very deep system, not only because of the money, but they have built up youth through their farm systems as well. So they're able to absorb it somewhat. I mean, they are at 6-8 right now, 4.5 games behind the Rays at 11-4. And we'll get to the Rays in a second. I'm really liking the Rays. But the Yankees are just, to make a long story short, you have to scroll to look at their injured list. It is long. I mean, Sanchez is dealing with tightness in his legs now to add to what they already had. Tulowitzki's already hurt. They knew going into his contract that there was possibly they were dealing with injuries with him right off the bat. He's hurt. You've got, guys you've never heard of coming up. Frazier, who can hit the, ball very well, very good prospect, horrible in the field. They're just dealing with a lot of moving parts. CC Sabathia just had a good game for the Yankees, so I think he may make up a little bit for them in the pitching rotation and help the pitching staff a little bit. But Cervino, he's still having trouble with his shoulder. He was supposed to be their ace this year. So the Yankees are dealing with a lot. I know not too many people are going to cry for the Yankees, and I don't blame you, because they have that kind of payroll and the depth in that system. I think they'll absorb it. I think the Rays are hot enough where the Yankees really got to watch out. They may dip way behind the Rays and be fighting for a wild card. But once you get in the playoffs, even if it's a wild card, I think the Yankees would take that, because I think with their roster, if they can get some people back healthy towards the end of the year, even though I do think they'll probably push for the division still at this point, even if the Rays run away with it, I think the Yankees would be a strong wild card team. But we'll see. You know, it goes both ways on this marathon of a season. Yes, it gives teams time to catch up, but also things can snowball and you can get so far behind the eight ball that it's tough to make a comeback because you're 15 games back or whatever. That happens. That's happening to the Cubs right now, a team that has had the roster for the last 5, 6, 7 seasons, really strong roster. And they are so far behind the eight ball right now. I don't know if the Cubs can come back. I mean, right now they're only 5-9 and they're 4.5 back in the NL Central. I understand that. But if you look at the way they're playing and you look at the Brewers, Cardinals, even the Pirates, and the Reds are better than their record right now too. It's just a lot for the Cubs to climb if they continue playing like they are. I mean, there's already rumblings in Chicago about Madden losing his job. And Madden's a great, great baseball coach. There's just no reason why they should let Madden go at all right now. If anything, you need a coach like that to rally a team. But Chicago, they're known to make crazy choices. And it's hard to question them right now. They won a World Series a few years ago and finally got off the schneid with their little goat curse or whatever. So, you know, I kind of don't blame the Cubs for doing what they got to do. And I don't think he's going to get fired. I think that was really just to light a fire under him and the club. But to even mention that is ridiculous, because Madden's a very, very, very good coach. First thing I want to get to is the AL West. And I'm going to start off with the AL West because, yes, I am an Astros fan. And I do pay attention to the West a little bit more than anything else. I'm really trying, now that I've got this podcast going and I've got my website going, I'm trying to have a more journalistic look at baseball. But where you are based out of, and it's a team that I follow my whole life, it's hard to get out of that rotation of watching what you're used to watching. And I watch, you know, pretty much every Astros game. I'll throw in a game a day as well of something else at some point. But they're the team in the division that I pay the most attention to. So when I do have Astros information in these podcasts, I'll try to get that out of the way at the beginning so I can get to everybody else's questions. And I do write down, you guys that email me, I do try to make notes and write down certain things to cover what you're asking or what my opinion is on certain things. And these podcasts going forward, I will mention a little bit of fantasy here and there, but it really is truly just going to be baseball talk. So I got a lot of people talking fantasy. I want to try to take care of that through the emails. I'll throw some of that in as well in the podcast if needed. But really, we're just going to talk about current events in baseball as the season goes on. I just enjoy that format the best. And if I get more and more listeners and things change a little bit, get pushed in certain directions, maybe I will go more fantasy oriented. But for right now, I just enjoy talking about the game and what I'm seeing, and I will try to cover people's questions or opinions about certain things if needed. The AL West right now, to me and to most baseball critics, is the strongest division in the major leagues right now. There is no we're one team under 500, and they're only one game under 500, and that's the Texas Rangers at 6-7. You get the Angels at 8-7. The Athletics, Astros, and Mariners all with double-digit wins. Mariners, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, even though they've lost 2 in a row to the Strohs. They're 13-4, while the Strohs are 10-5, and the Athletics are 10-8 at this point. So those top three are pretty much where I thought they'd be. I had the Angels in the mix in those top three. But as I'm watching the Angels, I'm realizing I don't know if they're going to be quite as strong as I thought they would be, which is a little disappointing. Now that Trout, there's going to be no issues with Trout. He's set for the rest of his career there. Ohtani, I think, may change things when he comes back. We'll see. I think he could be a very, very good DH. The guy can hit. He may change their trajectory a little bit. They're only 4 games out of the top in the division. At this point, everybody is still in it in baseball, even the teams at the bottom of their divisions. It takes one good run to get back in it. The Stroves, you know, they went from 2-5 to 10-5 just like that. So that's how a good run can turn things around for you. The Astros right now are the hottest team in baseball. They just beat a very good Seattle team 2 games in a row going into today's game against Seattle. Very impressive. They're just showing why they're one of the top teams in baseball. And I'm not trying to be a homer here. They just got timely hitting. Altuve has homered in 5 straight games. Jose Altuve, 5'5", 170 pounds. Home run in 5 straight games. That alone should go to Cooperstown. I mean, that is this guy. When I say a Hall of Fame second baseman, I mean, he's already locked in to me. I've seen a few that are in his range talent-wise, but not many. I mean, the high average that he hits every year, the things that he can do, not even including his size, just the things that he can do as a baseball player that has nothing to do with size, just the way he can make contact with baseballs, it rivals Vlad Guerrero. He doesn't have the power. I know he's not a big boy like Guerrero was, but you could bounce one into Altuve and he'd put the barrel on it. That is how impressive this little guy is. And me being a little guy that played second base and catcher growing up, I loved Biggio and I love Altuve because they're smaller guys. So I always had, you know, a soft spot for these guys going into that just because of that. But I mean, we're talking about 2 Hall of Fame guys. Well, I'm assuming Altuve is going to continue on this run that he's had pretty much his whole career. If he continues to have seasons like he's having, it's almost a guarantee that Altuve will eventually be a Hall of Famer. 200 hits a year is pretty much a given for Altuve. He's going to blow Biggio's numbers out of the water here in Houston, and Biggio is a no-doubt Hall of Famer. So that's the director he's going to. He's been fun to watch. And the Stros in general, they're just one of those teams that are still young enough to enjoy the game like they do. Tons of talent with Correa playing at full speed right now. Springer at the top of the lineup. I still see the Astros right there at the end and possibly in the World Series at this point. Like I said earlier, still 140 games to go. Injuries here, injuries there. Things can change quickly. But at this point, to me, the Astros are definitely in the running, I think, for the top billing in the AL. There's one surprise team that I want to get to out of that. Before I leave the West, though, I want to talk about the Seattle Mariners. Very surprising, but if you look at their team, they're one of those sneaky, talented teams. They don't have a ton of names that jump off the page at you. Definitely on the pitching side, they don't. But they're very well coached. They're very creative with the way they do things, game in, game out, especially with the way they use their pitching staff. They've got guys playing at the top of their abilities in the batter's box. Vogelbach has had some really big hits for them. Haniger has shown up this year. Domingo Santana is leading the majors, all of baseball in RBI. They've just got guys playing. I don't know how long this will last. I think that's the big question right now. I have watched the Astros beat the Mariners 2 games in a row. So I'm thinking that, they're good. I don't know if it was, they're not blowouts. The Astros are not blowing these guys out by any means. Very competitive game. So I do think they're going to be a thorn in the Astros side all season. I also believe they will fade a little bit. They're in that Athletics and Angels category for me. They're 3 teams. I think 4 of the 5 teams in the AL West will be battling for playoff spots. Everybody but the Rangers. And I think it's going to be the Astros will eventually run away with the division. But I do think the Mariners, Athletics, and Angels are going to be shifting, trying to fight for one of those wild card spots. I think they'll be within a few games at the end of the year. Angels right now don't look like they may be one of those teams in the mix for the wild card. But I do think when Ohtani comes back, Trout is on a Bonds level right now where he's getting pitched around. There's no reason to pitch to the guy. But the few mistakes, the few times that they do pitch to Trout, he'll put it out of the park or hit a double. It's just crazy. You can't put anything over the plate to Mike Trout. If you put anything in the hitting zone, make one mistake where the ball does not go where you want it to go, you miss your spot, and you plant that thing over the plate to Trout, he crushes it. And that, I've only seen in my lifetime, one player that was truly truly that Babe Ruth type of dominant where if you put it anywhere over the plate, anywhere, inside, outside, any part of the plate, they'd put the barrel on it, especially, you know, middle in on that play. Bonds was like that. He would turn on it, and Bonds would put it 450 feet away. Trout is not quite at that level, but Trout will put it in play, and he'll put it deep. And he'll put it down the line. He'll put it anywhere. He'll spray it. Trout is just an amazing player to watch. Honestly, as outrageous as contracts are right now in baseball, Trout is worth every single penny he's getting in from the Angels. He really is. Every penny. Just watch a few of his games. Just zoned in at the plate. He's beautiful to watch in center field. He's a spectacular fielder. Like I said, the only knock, and it's not much of one because it's not a weak arm, is his arm. It's just not the strongest arm in the game. And it's kind of like just being nitpicky because it's still a decent enough arm to play center field. It's just not a lights out arm. And that's really it. Everything else he does spectacular, Hall of Fame level. So I even feel bad even mentioning the arm. Like, that's how good he is. But that West is going to be very interesting as the season goes on for sure. I really am truly excited that I've got the Stros that I pay the most attention to watch what happens in this West. I think it's going to be pretty exciting because I would say it's the AL Central because that one's tight. I think any of those teams maybe outside the Royals and White Sox may be too weak. But in the AL Central, the Twins, Indians, and I think the Tigers may be one of the sleeper teams there because the team that's going to win that NL Central might only win 84, 85 games. And I think the Tigers are one of those sneaky teams, not to shock the world and go to a World Series or anything, but do I think they could win 80-something games and play over their head for the season and possibly battle to, because nobody's going to get into a wild card in that Central. It's going to have to be win the division. And the Twins and Indians don't look very strong. They look like 500 teams right now. So is it possible the Tigers could make a push? Yes. Indians and Twins, that's going to be a battle to the end of the season. I think they've got different strengths and weaknesses, but overall, Twins and Indians will be battling for the division. I think everybody agrees on that. But I want to get to the biggest surprise in the AL right now, even a bigger surprise than the Mariners, even though I played them down. Maybe I'm speaking more about myself than I am other people in the industry that are watching Major League Baseball closely. As I look deeper into it, I noticed most people had the Rays. They did win 92 games. I think it was 92. They won over 90 games last year. A lot of people had the Rays at least battling for a wild card. I personally did not even have the Rays in the playoffs. I did not realize how scrappy this team is. Even last year, I honestly never gave them the love they deserved. Even winning, they're like the quietest 90-win team I've ever seen last year. Like, I just didn't, they never really did anything for me, I think, because they have no superstars, even though Snell is now turning into one, and Snell did win the Cy Young last year. It's time. I know they're 17 game or 15 games into their season. There's 147 games to go. They've got the Yankees and Red Sox to deal with in their division. But it's time for me. I am one of those guys that I will call myself out. I am not the type of guy to act like I know everything. I just truly do these podcasts and I keep up with this stuff because I truly love it and enjoy it. I was wrong about the Rays. I was very, very wrong about the Rays. I really, truly thought, this won't be the only time you hear me this today. I've got another team in the NL that I was way off on that I'll call myself out on as well. But the Tampa Bay Rays, they're very, very well coached. They play the game the right way. There's no egos in there. That pitching staff is lights out from top to bottom. Whether they're going to do their weird, I think Friday, or this weekend, they're going to start implementing the, the opener, where the guy, it's not a closer, but an opener where they got a reliever that starts the first inning or two, and there really is no like traditional starter. I know it's strange, but it worked last year. They won 90 something games with it. They're going to start again with Glasnow, and and Chirinos and all of these arms that they've got coming out of there, along with Snell and all the guys at the top end. The Rays, the way they approach the game, this new approach, it's even more different than Astro Ball, which I just finished that book, by the way. Anybody that loves literature or anything about baseball, like the Moneyball era, the movie and the book Moneyball, Astro Ball is a must read. I truly enjoyed it. It was great. It follows how the Astros got to the point of winning the World Series in 2017. It's an in-depth look of how they approached and how they continue to approach the game and the way they changed it. Beautiful book. Anybody that has time to read it or is interested in anything baseball-wise, loves to read stuff like that, definitely take the time to hit it on Audible if you don't have time to read a book, whatever. Moneyball is great. Check it out. But the Rays, they approach it even a little different than the Moneyball, a little different than the Astro Ball. It's interesting to see how they approach it. It really is. I've tried to catch more Rays games lately just to see how they play. And it's just, they find ways to win. They have strong pitching that doesn't really put them in any bad situations. They hit the ball with timely. Diaz, by the way, for them, is exploding. You fantasy guys out there, I know he's not on any free agent list anymore, but whoever got Diaz, I went and got him too late. I saw him in my free agency list in all my leagues. All of my leagues, by the way. I'm in 5 different fantasy leagues. And the first little hot streak he had, I immediately went to my free agents and guess what? Gone. I mean, people, that's the thing about these fantasy baseball leagues. It's not like fantasy football where you get a ton of casual people that don't know what's going on. They're just playing because everybody else is. If somebody's going to take the time to play fantasy baseball, usually they know the game pretty well. That's just how it works. No casual people. They're like, oh, it's too much for me. I don't want to mess with it. So most of your people in fantasy baseball pay attention to this stuff. And he was gone immediately. But Diaz for the Rays is a future star. This will be his year to lead this team. His first young, vibrant, trying to make a name for himself year. He's showing some power. Just impressive. And that's not even including Glasnow and Snell and Chirinos. And the list goes on of the pitchers that they have, even at the back of their bullpen. Just lights out pitching. And that they've given up 36 runs in their first 15 games. 36 runs. I mean, that is impressive. So, I mean, the Rays, 70-36. They've scored 70, and they've only given up 36 runs. The Rays have shown up. And everybody was talking about how the Yankees have made the best moves and the best bullpen in baseball heading into the season. None of that matters now. I'll tell you where the best bullpen is. I'll tell you the best pitching staff in baseball right now. And that is the Tampa Bay Rays, without a doubt. I'll tell you one pitching staff that is not good right now, that could be one of the worst in baseball, that has the highest payroll probably in baseball. I haven't checked that out, but could right up there. And that's the Red Sox. I know there's some injuries we're dealing with, and there was some funkiness heading into the season with injuries and other things going on there with their pitching staff, trying to figure out who the true closer was. 98 runs through 15 games given up by the Red Sox staff. 98, while only scoring 69. They've given up 63 more runs than the Rays staff, the Red Sox. Do you know the difference in payroll? I don't, but I can tell you one thing. It's a lot. A lot. So as much as they pay in baseball, that's the funny thing, is it doesn't always work out that way. Percentages say that most of the time you're going to have the higher payrolls in the playoffs. But it doesn't always work. You know, the A's in Oakland and the Rays, they tend to be those two type of teams. The Astros at the beginning, now they're one of the higher, they've started to spend some money in Houston. But when they first started their system, they were one of those teams as well. They just figured out a way to use their talent to the best of their ability. They figured out a way to put the best, most talented, cheapest guys in the right spots to make little runs. And that's what the Rays are doing compared to these teams that are throwing a lot of money at these top players. I do think that the Red Sox will catch some fire. They'll go through some easier spots on their schedule. They will go on some runs, and they will be right back in there with the Rays. The Rays still, it's really looking like they may run away with it, but I do think the Yankees and Red Sox will at the very least be battling for a wild card. Right now, the Rays are looking like a mid-90s to high-90s win team. They're 11-4 through the first 15. A plus 34 differential. I mean, these guys are playing some ball right now and looking good and smooth. And these pitchers are, I watched them dominate the Astros. Astros had no chance in Tampa Bay. They just got beat down. Opening series of the season, too. It was wild to see how easy the Rays made it look beating the Astros. So, very impressed. Very, very, very impressed with the Tampa Bay Rays. The Red Sox and Yankees, we've already talked about them quite a bit. That was next on my list here to talk about. But it is what it is. Yankees know a lot of injuries. They're deep enough to try to absorb it. I do think it's going to hurt them enough to probably drop them down to more of a wild card battling team. Red Sox are way behind the eight ball right now. They're already six games out. They're 5-10 to start the season. I do think they're going to make some runs, but like I said earlier, they've given up 98 runs through 15 games. That's going to have to change. They're going to have to figure out who their closer is. They're going to have to figure out what's going on with Chris Sale. He looks lost. He's been dealing with that abdomen injury or whatever he had last year. Chris Sale does not look like himself. That pitching staff in general does not look like themselves for the Red Sox. And they're not scoring a ton of runs either. So, It's really shocking. And I've watched a couple of their games, and it's just it just comes down to bad pitching. And bad luck. I mean, Benintendi's dealing with a foot. He just fouled off a ball on his right foot. So he may be out today. So that's another thing to add to the Red Sox. That's one of their top players, one of the top fantasy players, by the way. So they're just kind of going through the motions right now. It happens in baseball where things can pile up on you really quick. And I think the Red Sox, for the first time in a while, are really dealing with a lot of bad luck, a lot of just straight up bad pitching. And it's hard to be a team that, even with the bats that they have, if you're constantly down two or three runs, you're regularly down, you know, a good amount in every game where you're constantly having to come back, and you'll have your moments where you do. But it beats you down as a ball club after a while, where every game you feel like you're having to fight your way up. And I think that's what the Red Sox have gone through these first few weeks. Like I've said a couple times already, I do think they're going to turn it around. I don't think it's anything to fret about yet, but if they continue, I mean, if they go on a couple more losing streaks, only win a couple more games, I mean, and you're looking at 7-20, you know, heads may start rolling. There may be some coaching staff changes. Cora, who was just, you know, the man of the hour last year, best young coach in a while, and blah, 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 and he came from the Astros coaching staff, and I like Cora. But I'll tell you what, Boston does not like losing. They will put your head on a stake so quick. They don't want any excuses, injuries, bad luck, bad umpiring, does not matter. If you start a season 7-20, 7-21, 8-22, you're in big trouble in Boston, just like you would be in Philly or New York. So Cora better hope things turn around with no excuses and very soon, because it's not looking much is changing there. I do think they got a win today, though, from what I'm seeing. So maybe this is the start of something. They've moved up to 6-10. But they're still out because the Rays, looks like the Rays got a win today as well. So there you go. I mean, real time, guys. Real time as the podcast is happening. I'm looking at this, and the Rays get a win and the Red Sox get a win. So yeah, they move up to 6-10. But guess what? The Rays just moved to 12-4. So we'll see how that works out. I want to move on to the National League. That's enough of the AL. We did a lot of focus on the AL, and I've only got so much time each podcast. We're going to start with the NL East. I think, to me, this is right now one of the most enjoyable divisions that I've been paying attention to. Four teams in the running in this division, literally four teams that could win the division. And at least one of those teams, maybe two. There could be three teams in the playoffs if you include the two wild cards from this division. It's going to be, I do think, you know, the NL Central is kind of crowded at the top. The AL West has a couple teams that are making some runs. So, I mean, it's not a definite there'll be that many teams that have the NL East running, but it looks that way. The Mets, the Phillies, Braves, and Nationals look very strong to me. I know they're all hovering around 9-5, 8-5, 8-6, 7-7. I know the records right now aren't jumping off the page, but you're talking about four very, very good teams that not only can run, make a run for the NL East, but I also think could possibly make a run for a World Series. That's how good these four teams are in my eyes. The Mets have a few rookies that really impress me. They're just got such a great mix of youth and veterans right now in the New York Mets. They're another team I kind of didn't give a ton of credit to going into this season. I think they're going to make a bigger splash than I expected. I have a man crush right now on Pete Alonso, the rookie first baseman for the Mets. Power, good vision, decent glove. He's just an all-around really good player. I think he's going to be around for a long, long time. I think he's going to be a very, very good player for the Mets, a very good, serviceable Major League Baseball player for a long time. Pete Alonso. I picked him up. I was lucky enough to see a little bit of his spring training this year on the tube, and he was pretty hot in spring training. So really just off of that, it really wasn't like I saw it before it happened or I'm this amazing scout or anything like that. No, I just saw that he was hot in the spring. I thought to myself, in my dynasty baseball league, it's good to get young talent when you can. And a few other fantasy leagues that I'm in, I just thought, he's there, you know, mid to late rounds. I'm just going to take him. I took him a little early in one, just as a flyer, just a little bit of a wrist shot. And I like to do that. And when it pays off, it's right now it's paying off for me. I'm having a very good fantasy baseball season, by the way. And one of the reasons why I'm having, two reasons why I'm having a very good fantasy baseball season is Fernando Tatis Jr., and Pete Alonso. These two rookies are two guys that I took a chance on, and especially Tatis. I took them way too early. To the point of I got texts after taking them, like, what are you doing? Because a lot of people thought Tatis was going to go down for a while. A lot of people thought Alonso was going to go down for a while in minors and then, you know, eventually be up by May or so. So they're like, why would you take a guy the first month of the season is just going to be on your bench? I took a chance as hot as they were in the spring. I thought, man, there's a slight chance they may just keep them at the major league level and just get those at bats in and let these guys turn into the superstars they should be. And the stars aligned. Tatis and Alonso from day one have been major leaguers this year. They never got sent down and they are proving that they should be at the major league level as young as they are. And they are ready to produce at the major league level as they are. And it has really skyrocketed my fantasy teams because those were the two risky guys. I'd already loaded up on talent in these leagues early on. Didn't have to mess with the Tatis and Alonzos. These were guys nobody were even really thinking too much about. Tatis was on a lot of radars. But I was that guy that made everybody mad that took Tatis early. So they thought they could wait on him and take him in the 11th or 12th round because people would sleep on him. I was that guy that, no, I'm going to go ahead and take Tatis in the 10th round. The 10th round, like, oh my, you know, people lost their, they couldn't believe I did that. I mean, I actually had some anger headed my way. But I'm just that big, especially in my dynasty league. I've got a new dynasty league now, and then my old dynasty league, I picked him up last year as far as we have a minor league roster system. So I already had him planted in that one, but my new dynasty league that just started up through the Fantasy Life app with 11 other guys or 15 other guys. I think it's a 16 team league. I had to get him and I took him early and it was a dynasty draft. So I knew that, you know, dynasty, you want to go young and you want to get him as early as you can. So that's what I did is I took, Tatis and Alonso. Those were my two guys that, you know what, these are my guys I'm building for the next 5 years in these dynasty leagues. So anyways, Tatis has been so impressive. The Padres are 11-5 right now. And part of it, you got Tatis and Machado on the left side there. I mean, Machado and Tatis, this is the future in San Diego. San Diego is going to be the team in the West that the Dodgers are going to have to deal with for the next 5, 6, 7 years. They've got so much young talent there. Even this year, it's showing that lineup is tough. They've got young arms like Paddock that are coming up. San Diego is the team of the future in the West, and it's time. The Dodgers and Giants have been dominating long enough. It's time for these younger teams. I thought the Diamondbacks would be in the mix. Looks like they're fading a bit. The Giants are playing above their heads at only 7-9. They're still playing above their heads. So I do think it's going to be Padres and Dodgers. Dodgers are 8-8 through 16 games right now. They're going to, of course, win some ball games. They've got a, Bellinger, and this lineup is just loaded in LA. I mean, just absolutely the best lineup in baseball, possibly. So I do think the Dodgers, even though they're dealing with some injuries with pitching, they will balance up, maybe even take the division, but I do think the Padres will be right there for that wild card, if not battling for the division with the Dodgers. It's young and it's fun in San Diego right now. And I do think Tatis will probably take that Rookie of the Year. I think he's just going to explode onto the scene. He's doing it right now. I mean, there's having these moments where you look at him and go, holy crap, that guy, he does things that, you don't see very often. So the Padres, I mean, I know this kind of branched off from the Mets to the Padres, but it's that connection between Alonso and Tatis. Alonso's kind of doing the same thing with the Mets. He's bringing in a breath of fresh air. He's doing that with Nemo. Nemo is a very good outfielder there, and McNeil as well. They've got three rookies. Smith is also a rookie there at first base with Alonso. They will rotate some playing time this year. I think it'll be mainly Alonso, but Dominic Smith at first base for the Mets is another future guy. He may end up being a candidate to get moved at some point just because I think Alonso is going to get so good in the next year or two. They may make some kind of trade or something, but they may hold on to him and just say, hey, we got depth and these two guys will rotate. It's a good situation to be in for the Mets. They really are getting a lot of young talent coming up. It's what I spoke about in the first few podcasts I did this year about how the Astros got to where they did and a few other teams. It's that perfect combination of youth that you've nurtured in your minor league system and you've drafted high in your bad years to get, combined with good veteran moves that the front office makes to combine some veteran leadership with young talent. And I think the New York Mets are at that point right now. The problem with the Mets that the Mets have is that the Phillies and Braves are in the same situation. To me, the team that really meets that criteria, probably even more so than the Mets do, is the Braves. They've got some amazingly good young talent with Acuna, Albies. Freeman, I guess, is not young anymore, but good young talent mixed with your McCanns and your Donaldsons. Even Dabney Swanson's playing some really good shortstop. They are loaded. I mean, Atlanta is loaded. They got some young arms there. They really, really, really are ready to take the next step. I know my first podcast, I think it was my first or second one, I went nuts on the Braves, how great they're going to be. They're bunched in with the Phillies, Mets, and Nationals. There's no guarantee how that division's going to pan out with injuries and how this long season's going to go. Braves should be right there with a fighting chance. If I had a guess, it would probably be the Braves and the Phillies rising to the top, while the Mets and Nats kind of hang right there. But the Mets and Nationals, and the Nationals going into this season, myself included, most people had the Nationals winning this division, and they're only two games out right now, 7-7, so it's still anybody's division. So most betting men would probably put it on the Nationals, but I really think it's going to be the Phillies, but we'll see. We'll see. That's what I love about this NL East. There is no guarantee between those four teams. The Nationals just are, strong from top to bottom. They really don't have too many weaknesses. Soto and Robles in the outfield are fantastic. Really, really are. And losing Harper, absolutely, it hurts anytime you lose a top player like Bryce Harper. But when you've got Soto and Robles coming in, taking over that outfield, it really cushions the blow there in Washington. They're going to be just fine. Soto's going to be that next future superstar for them, and they're fine with that. And that's not, I haven't even got to Trey Turner. Main reason why they're 7-7 to get off to a slow start is when he comes back from his broken finger, Trey Turner's just going to boost them that much more and get the Nationals that push to possibly win the division. Like I said, I still have Phillies and Braves probably ahead of the Nationals, but we'll see. Definitely at least one of the wild cards should come out of this division, and possibly both. So we'll see. Mets, Phillies, Braves, Nationals. The Marlins are just too far behind talent-wise. They just really have no chance. But those four teams, pay close attention. If you love baseball and you just in general and want to pay attention to good races and divisions, and NL East is one of those divisions you really need to pay attention to. The Central's kind of panning out how most people thought it would. Brewers at the top. They probably will win the division. They're not running away with anything yet. We're still very early. But they're just the most talented team. And I know they're dealing with, you know, Knebel, you know, is not going to be their closer this year. He's out. Tommy John surgery. They have not signed Kimbrel yet. A lot of people have them signing Kimbrel, but I think they're far apart on the contract that him and his agent want. So we'll see how that works out. Really, they're still probably the main team looking at Kimbrel. They've got some arms in the back of that bullpen that can make up for, especially with some guys coming back from injury on the back of that bullpen. So if needed, they could go without Kimbrel, and I still think the Brewers probably win the division. Yelich having an amazing start, by the way. This guy, he's looking like a perennial year-in, year-out MVP candidate. Christian Yelich has finally reached the peak of his potential, and he will be the guy that propels this team. And they're 10-5 in their first 15. A lot of it has to do with Yelich. No mistake, guy. You throw anything over that plate, he is crushing it, and it's fun to watch. Trout stole one from him. He should have had another home run than what he's got now in Anaheim, but Trout easily, the way Trout made it look, it's like, this guy's just amazing. Just, you know, casually caught it over the fence. Would have been a home run, but, you know, Trout just tracked it perfectly like he usually does. Cardinals right now and the Pirates are right there at 8-6, but I do think the Cardinals will push away. They'll be in the battle for a wild card and probably in that second spot for the season. I think the Reds, even though they're only 5-8 to start the season, while the Pirates are 8-6, I think the Reds will climb up into that third spot. They've only given up 37 runs in 13 games, in their first 13 games, the Reds. So the Reds pitching staff with Castillo and Sonny Gray and company might be pretty good. Not as bad as people thought. I think they've got, you know, they've got a good back end as well. Scrappy lineup. I don't know if they've got enough enough to battle with the Cards to possibly be in a wild card hunt. It's there. It's possible. Just don't trust the Reds right now. I really do think it's just going to be Brewers and Cardinals at the top that are relevant. We'll see how these next few weeks pan off, and I will bring this up on the podcast as the season goes on, see how this division plays out. And that's kind of what I want to do with these podcasts. I just want to talk about how the season's going and these fun races and who's hot and who's not. This will really be entertaining to watch. This is a good year. I think I started on a good year podcast-wise. I think there's a lot of really, really good races in baseball this year. A lot of teams are going to be battling for spots to try to get in the playoffs at the end of the season. I think it's going to be fun to watch. We'll finish off with the West. It is interesting. Padres are 11-5 through their first 16, while the Dodgers are 8-8 dealing with injuries in their pitching staff, as I mentioned earlier. Three back are the Dodgers from the Padres. And the Padres don't have a very difficult schedule the next week or so, couple weeks. So the Padres have a chance to really pad this 11-5 record. To stay ahead of the Dodgers, I think this is the time of year they're really going to have to make their push and get way ahead. Because the Dodgers at some point with that lineup and the guys that are going to be coming back pitching-wise and how Kershaw's back pans out and all that good stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how the Padres, as young as they are, and they're very, very, very young, can they hold on to any kind of lead with the Dodgers? I don't think so. I think the Dodgers will eventually come and take over that division, and the Padres will eventually fade. But I do think that the Padres, even if they fade out of the division, I really do think they got a chance to get in the playoffs through a wild card. I mean, Machado has shown why he's a $300 million guy. The guy changed the culture of this team. Tatis and Machado on that left side are the future. Could be one of the best left sides in the history of the game, hitting and fielding-wise. That is where the Padres are right now. And that's not including Will Myers and Renfro, Reyes. They still got Hosmer at first. They just picked up Mejia this year. Good young catcher. He's, you know, he's battling with some playing time there at catcher this year. But over the long haul, I think Mejia will be the catcher for the future there. Great young arms at Paddock. I really think the sky's the limit for the Padres the next year or two. Right now, they're playing with no worries. They know that nobody expects them to do anything. This is the type of situations this year where the Padres really could make a splash because they're playing free and fun. There's no pressure on the San Diego Padres this year, even though they signed Manny. Nobody expected these guys to do much. I didn't expect them to do much. I didn't think it was the year yet. I figured they were a year or two away from really making a push. I didn't even think Tatis would start the year on the major league roster, but he ripped the ball in spring training. He's continuing to hit well to start the season. Machado's Machado. He's going to be, no matter if he starts hot or slow or anything like that, he's a great baseball player. He's getting paid $300 million for a reason. You've got a ton of guys that are a little, that are very affordable, that play well, like Reyes and Renfro and Myers. Hosmer's still there. I mean, like, at first, it's a good veteran guy to have. Eric Hosmer, he'll be, you know, bat in the 5-6 hole if needed, third hole if you need him. Hosmer is a very good first baseman. Great guy in the clubhouse. I really do think they're a team. I think now that they've started 11-5, I know that Machado blew out their budget, but why not go get Keuchel? If the Padres get Dallas Keuchel and put him in that pitching staff with those young pitchers, and with that lineup that's on the come with all the young players, with Tatis and so on, Padres could be, you know, this the new team on the block. Come up and win that West, shock the Dodgers. You've got your veteran leadership in Machado, Hosmer. You've got the rookie phenoms in Tatis. You got Kinsler, veteran at second base. Renfro, powerful young kid. Myers can kind of do it all. I mean, they've got the makings. Margot in center field, not the greatest hitter, but he's a very good fielder. You know, he's a good top of the lineup or bottom of the lineup. He's got good speed. You can kind of place him anywhere, Margot in center. I mean, they've got a ton of pieces in San Diego. So as wrong as I was on San Diego, I'm pushing for them. I really think that they could add a lot of spice to the NL. And the NL really is changing. I think they went through a few years where they kind of bored me a little bit in the National League. There wasn't much going on there. Very predictable. This year, all of that's out the window. There's a ton of teams involved. There's new faces. There's new teams. Like I said a few minutes ago, this is the best year to start a podcast on Major League Baseball because there is a lot going on this year. Fun to watch. If you're not a Major League Baseball fan, this is the year. Especially this has a chance of being a home run year. I think they might have tightened up the balls a little bit, changed them. They do that from time to time in baseball. It seems that the balls have a little bit more pop on them. These years are fun to watch. There's a lot of teams involved. There's a lot of youth happening in Major League Baseball. It's the season to start watching and paying attention to Major League Baseball. This is the year. I really do believe that. There's a lot going on, and it is fun, fun, fun to watch. I want to finish with one last, and I know it's another self-deprecating moment for me, but I got to get it out of the way. I had the Colorado Rockies winning, and it still could happen. We're early. We're early in the season. I want to give myself that. But I had the Rockies winning the National League West. That was what I finished. Did I finish? Was it the last podcast? Well, one of the when I covered the NL West, I had the Rockies winning. They got me. It's one of those where they made a few moves. Arenado signed. I mean, Arenado signed this giant contract. He does not have a home run yet this season. 15 or so games into the season, nothing from Arenado. Story not doing anything. These guys you expected to hit the ball and hit it well are not doing anything. They have no pitching. Freeland's been off and on, not looking too good. The Rockies have just looked putrid. One of the worst records in Major League Baseball to this point. Just horrific start for the Colorado Rockies. So bad, I don't know if they're going to be able to dig themselves out of it if they continue this trajectory for the next week or two. If they get this far behind the eight ball and continue this bad through the month of April into May, they're in big, big trouble. I've seen some bigger runs. It's happened a million times in baseball. Teams have made huge runs from mid, you know, start all-star break on and turn things around, come back and even win the division or whatever. But it's just really putrid right now in Colorado. It's going to be tough. They've got some tough competition now in the NL. Watching them play, I watched one game the other day, and I just happened to catch them on a bad day, and it was horrific. I mean, they just don't have any firepower right now. Now, I do think Arenado and them will turn it around. You know, Trevor Story, Arenado for sure. They will definitely turn their bats around. But, man, I was way off. I was way off on the Colorado Rockies, and I had them beating the Dodgers in that division. And I am looking like a fool right now, but that's baseball. You got to get out there and play the game. You got to deal with all the changes that happen within a game. That's what makes baseball a beautiful game. Is a lot of different things can happen throughout a marathon of a season. All right, guys. Well, this has been a blast. We're going to get back to a weekly mode. I'm going to send my emails out to the guys that have been hitting up my emails the last couple weeks. I apologize for the long break. We are getting our bearings back and getting this season rolling. It's going to be a great one, like I've said. I'm excited for the future of this podcast, and I'm excited about this Major League Baseball season. That is what's going to fuel this podcast, and I'm excited about it. So if you want to jump on board, tell your friends about it. We are going to get the website updated today. That's aheadofthecurve.simdiff.com. That's aheadofthecurve.simdiff.com. It will just be headlines of what has been going on in Major League Baseball. The category section, we're just going to probably have some stats in those sections. We're going to go over that today as soon as we end this podcast, get the website squared away. You can also email me at thisweekwithtodd@gmail.com. That is thisweekwithtodd@gmail.com. I know a lot of you guys, especially my Fantasy Life guys, have been freaking out wondering what happened to me. I am back. Anybody else, feel free to email me any questions Major League Baseball oriented. I will do my best to answer them. If you want something covered in the podcast, or if I don't get to answer you in the emails at times, it's more on the fantasy football side. But I know as this baseball season goes, it may come across the issue of me not answering everybody through email. If that happens, I will definitely make a list of the people I didn't respond and see if I can cover that. Maybe not directly to you, but cover the issue that you brought up or the question you have throughout the podcast. Once again, guys, I appreciate you listening. We will get another podcast out. If not this coming week, the week after, we will try to do a weekly from here on out. I appreciate everybody for listening. Until next time, guys, I'm out.